Kardi class 2023. This different words in Braj Bhasha have different meanings. So they mean one thing in material language, but another thing in spiritual language. So Matsara is described in Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 1, verse 2 or 3. Paramo nir Matsaranam satam. This Bhagavatam is only for the saintly people that are near Matsa, near Matsarya. Near Matsarya means free from envy. Envious people are also hard-hearted. They're arasikas, abhuvakas. They have no bhav or no sensitivity. So they won't perceive the inner essence of the Bhagavatam, which is ras and love. So this word Matsara, which generally is not used anywhere in Brajmandal to describe envy, because Brajmandal is completely devoid of envious people. Wow. What a place to live. Inconceivable. What does Matsara mean? Matsara means envy. But there in Brajmandal means my lake. Sara means lake, water means also, rasa means water, and sara means water, short A. And matsara means, so Ananaraj is describing Pavan Sarovara, which was made by his father, Parjanya Maharaj. He calls it my lake, he calls it Matsara Kun, or Matsara Lake. We call it Pavan Sarovara. He says, it's mine. I'm the king. You have your name, I have my name. This is, there's not only one lake in my kingdom, there's 56 kuns in Nandagram. In the spiritual world, when Krishna was here, there are 56 different kuns. And Ramesh Baba, or he's called Sri Baba or something, Baba Sri and Mankutir in Nandagram, he's identified from ancient Puranas where the location of those 56 kuns are. He's trying one by one to recover them and dig them out and revive them. But they're in the middle of private fields of different colored men, farmers, and they're not too inclined to donate a large part of the land for another province or over. They're actually very big kuns. They're all under chickpeas. Chickpeas and wheat and corn and all this stuff. So that's a nice thing. There's the word doshakara. Dosha, of course, means fault. Doshakara is usually refers to the moon because the moon has spots, which is considered a fault in the beauty of the moon. But the word doshakara is never used in the underground because there's no faulty people in the underground. The word mal, there's a soap powder, a very cheap soap powder, it's probably not available anymore. The Indians have a very costly taste now. They all want everything imported. Ariel, and Tide, and all kinds of Western soap powder, Colgate, Western toothpaste, everything has to be Western. Because Indian is no good. They're still brainwashed by Nehru and the British influence, unfortunately. But anyway, so there's a soap powder called Nirmal. Nirmal soap powder. Mal means dirt, and Nirmal means dirt out, no dirt. So there's no dirty people in Brajmandal at Krishna's time. Even the pigs at that time took bath 3 times a day. And Swara Kund. What's the name of the pig? Swara?
Sewer.
Sewer Kund. The Hindi word for pig is sewer, and in the West there's an English word, probably from German or something, called sewer, which means where the stool flows in the gutter. So they have the bead in their Swara Kund. It's a bad joke. So this word mala is not found in Brajmandal, but what do we find? We find the word parimala.
Fragrance.
Parimala means fragrance. We find Shyamala. We find Sham now also. Shyamala means blackish, doesn't mean fragrance, but the word mala is there, but this time mala is not referring to dirt, it's referring to a dark, usually dirt is, when we think of mala, we think of dirt, and dirt is usually black, or, you know, there's not white dirt. Usually dirt is black or dark brown or whatever. And so it's never used to describe filth. Everything in Brajmala is nirmal, pure and spotless. The word danda means rod, like a lati, a big stick. It also means punishment. When it talks about the four means of diplomacy among Kshatriyas, Sama, Veda, Don, Danda, Don. So you don't take my Don, you don't take my bribe, you don't take my offering of position, become minister, this or that, and you can't become peaceful with me, then Danda. So Danda means to beat, or it means to be when punished, like Krishna says in the Gita, I am the rod of chastisement. What's the Sanskrit?
Dando Damayatamas.
Yeah, the word is there in Sanskrit. Danda. Danda, see, I am the Mahadanda. I beat you like anything. That's a fact. If Krishna ever decides to beat you, no one can save you. If Krishna wants to say you, no one can beat you. I've been beaten a few times. I know, no escape. Can't cry for your mother or anybody. So danda is only used to refer to the handle of an umbrella. A chata umbrella has a long stick holding it up. Was sticks in the old days, now it's metal or whatever. That's called danda, chata danda. And it doesn't mean punishment because there's no punishable people there then. Now things are different. The word bandha, B-A-N-D-H-A, like sambandha, means tied, not, like tie your shoes, not, K-N-O-T, bound. It's only used to describe knots in clothing, like nivibandha. Nivibandha means to, not in your underwear. Not in your petticoat. Nivibandha. Or Krishna was bound with a robe also. It doesn't mean imprisonment. Because bond means imprisonment also. No one here in Brajmanda deserves to be tied up. That's what Kavi Karnapur says. It seems they forgot about one little mischievous boy and Gokul, who was regularly getting tied up. It was one time we celebrate Amavasya and Kartik, he got tied up that day. But he gets tied up many days. That's just a festival day. It's not the only day. Yeah, you think the little boy only misbehaves himself once?
No.
Criminals, they call repeated criminals. Criminal always returns to the scene of the crime to rob a second time, or a third time, or a fourth time. So Krishna's always getting caught stealing butter and yogurt, and always getting tied up. It's not a one-time thing. It's in fact, it's nitya lila. It's not only always, it's nitya. So he's getting, somewhere right now he's getting tied up. Good. If he's tied the guy up, he won't give me any trouble. If he's loose, I'm not afraid. Like a tiger, you tie him up and put him in a cage and he feels safe. But if he's roaming the streets, it's not time for your morning Java walk. So kunkum, the word panka, P-A-N-K-A, means mud. That's why we say pankanava or padmanava. Panka jungri means lotus feet. Well, how's that? How you have mud on your feet? Panka angri means feet, and panka means mud. So you say panka jungri means you have a lot of mud on your feet. No, it means that which is born from the mud. What is born from the mud in the bottom of the lake is a lotus. So it's a Sanskrit way of describing a lotus. So panka means mud, but it's only used to describe cosmetics. Cosmetics like kunkum and chandan, because there's no mud in Vrindavan except when they make Radha Kunti Yag. Take mud from the bottom. The word adi, A-D-H-I, means mental distress. It is only found in such words as upadi, which means designation, name, and samadhi, which means the intense state of meditating on Krishna. Because the gopis go in samadhi sometimes, so they describe what's going on. Like Krishna goes in the temple room, the chanti, Diksha Mantra got from Bhaguri Muni. Bhaguri Muni is the family priest of Nanda Baba. Gargarishi is the family priest of Vasudeva. Bhaguri Muni initiated Krishna in the Narayana Mantra, Narayana. So Krishna goes in the temple, in the Lakshmi Narayana temple, Nandagram, to do his morning, his anik, his daily chanting of Diksha Mantras on his job about 108 times. Because Diksha Mantras should be chanted minimum 108 times, according to Hari Bhakti Das. So, of course, Diksha Mantras are the primary Diksha Mantras, Gaudiya Sampradaya, for Gopal Mantra and Kam Gayatri. So Krishna chanting his Diksha Mantra, but this Narayan becomes Radha. And when he's saying Narayan, he's quite restless and trying to look around here and there, like typical Java chatter, doing sightseeing Java. But then suddenly he starts saying Narayan's name, and suddenly his mind is, he becomes a Sthitamdi Muni. His entire intelligence is going to fix at one point the smiling face of Radharani. Then he closes his eyes. He starts to smile also. Because if Radharani's smiling at me in my meditation, I'm not going to frown at her return. If some pretty girl smiles at me, what are you going to do? Should start run away. Go like this. Show this finger. Not this finger. This. So this finger, I'm married, Jack, bye. That's more fun, come back. So Krishna, remembering Radharani's face while he's chanting his quote-unquote Narayana Mantra, which becomes Radha Mantra, Radha, 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 then he becomes in samadhi. So Mother Yashoda said, Nanaraj said, why isn't Krishna coming for breakfast? He's in samadhi. Don't disturb him. He's meditating on his Diksha Mantra.
Oh.
Well, wait, let's wait. So he comes out really blissful. He comes out for breakfast, big swallows. They think, wow, that mantra really works. Mantra Prabhav. The word Kutila, don't get any ideas now. It means crooked, but it only means hair locks or one's glances. Kutila Aksha, Kutila Kesh. There are no crooked or deceitful people in the underground. There's one lady named if you're deceitful and you have kinky, wavy hair, then you're Kutia. Who's Kutia? The illustrious, ravenously voluptuous sister of Abhimanyu. So you imagine she must look as beautiful as Abhimanyu. If you have any old pictures of the Murtis in Yavatgram from like 15 years ago, 20 years ago, they're vintage pictures. When you take Darshan and Yavatgram, there's Radha Yavo Vihari or some Murtis there, maybe Ashtadhatu or marble. But on the left-hand side, in a little hallway in some little broken-down closet, the doors didn't even close properly, and there's some curtain that hadn't been changed in 6,000 years. And in there was three Murtis made of straw and clay. And they were really, the straw was coming through the Murti, through the clay, and it was really, you ever saw? You know, it was a comical Murti, made you laugh like anything. And Abhimanyu's face is totally black, like black as black as midnight. And his sister was on his right side, and his mother, Jatila, was on his left side. And their paint was falling off. Like so beautiful, you know. Heads were crooked, and bed all funny. Pretty great. There's so much Madhurya in the old brush, you know. Now, yeah, inside that, I was there, we were there about a month ago. I think they have marble Murtis or some fancy Murtis. We usually do always only go there. Really, Rasi Joey's just, they take Darshan, Rabba Vihari, and turn that in that direction, go, Dandavat. Like, you know, when you see a sannyasin yiskan, you go, Dandavat, you know, get lost, you know. Nobody has too much respect these days, for good reason also. But that's the way it, anyways, I'm not recommending that, but, you know, you do what you do. I'm not forbidding it. Chanchalata. What does chanchalata mean?
Restlessness,
unsteady, greedy. It's used only in relation to necklaces, like pearl necklace, or the edge of clothing, edge of the sari, or edge of the dupatta. It's moving, which means moving, chanchala means moving back and forth in anticipation of meeting Krishna. It's the word chanchala is never used in reference to the mind. Like we have in Gita in the 6th chapter, Arjuna is directed by Krishna to control his mind. And Arjuna complains, he says, what does he say? Yeah, thank you. What number is it? Oh, that's okay. Chanchalahi Manakrishna, Mati Balavan. So the mind is very restless, Arjuna says. It's hard to control. But Krishna doesn't buy his argument. He said, I don't agree with you. It is easy to control the mind by two practices.
Abhyasa and
Vairagya. Abhyasa and Vairagya. Constant practice in Bhakti Bhajan and by detachment. Which automatically, you do more Bhakti Bhajan, automatically you become detached from the material world. And then your mind becomes shanti. Attachment to the material world is the cause of upset chanchala man. So only clothing that's swishing back and forth is called chanchala. And raga, R-A-G-A, means passionate, usually refers to material attachments. And Patanjali's Yoga Sutra describes the five major causes of bondage of the jiva to the material energy. Asmita,
raga, dvesha,
abhinivesha, rag and dvesha. Rag, dvesha, abhinivesha,
asmita.
Right, there's five things. One of them is rag. Rag means attachment to Maya. So these are problems in the material world. Asmita means wrong, misidentification with the false ego. And then you have all definitions and explain.
Avidya, asmita?
Yeah, avidya. Ignorance. That's a big cause of being attached to the material world and material body. Gross ignorance. So rag is only used to describe the red color, because the word rag in Sanskrit also means red. R-A-G-A means red, red. It describes red color on the feet and hands. It's not possible used to describe material attachments, because in Vrindavan no one has material attachments. Then. In Krishna Lila. Now Vrindavan, maybe a little different story. But an ideal Vrishvasi will have attachment, but not material attachments. So Rag, when it's talking about attachment to Krishna, it's called Ragadmika Bhakti, Ragadmika love. Passionate, complete attachment of body, mind, and words to the pleasure and satisfaction of Sri Krishna. The word Madhya means middle class, mediocre, like average, mediocre, Madhya. But it's only used to describe the waist. In the Bhagavatam, Krishna, when he's talking to the gopis in chapter 29 and 10th canto, he says, oh, sumadhyama. Sumadhyama, by addressing a woman as sumadhyama, that one word is a sutra to describe an entirely beautiful woman. The woman's waist is thin, then everything else is good. That's the idea. But, you know, there's exceptions to that rule. So there's a lot of skinny minis out there, you know, that aren't so delectable in the eyes of Krishna. But so sumadhyama means beautiful, thin waist, su, very thin, thin madhya, thin waist, and very beautiful. Overall, the word, when Krishna is saying, oh, sumadhyama, because he's telling them, he's preaching to the gopis to follow morality. Follow your varna dharma, follow your loka dharma, follow your sri dharma, follow your sati dharma, follow all your dharmas. Go home. You've seen the full moon, you've smelled the beautiful night blooming flowers, and you've seen the yamuna and under the moonlight. Now you have good sight, good darshan, midnight darshan, now go home, get lost. But while he's telling him to go home, he's saying, oh, sumadhyama. He's flattering them to get their attraction and incite their interest and saying, you're sumadhyama, go home. So they watch this guy, he's taking us right and left and right and left. Go stay. Guy is hard to figure out. His mouth, one for 5 minutes, he says, go home. And one word, he says, I love you, don't move. Sumadhyama. It's a little hard to figure out Krishna. So it's only used, although it's a well-used word in language, madhya. Madhya, middle, describe. Many things can be described with the word madhya. It's only used to describe waste in Goloka Vrindavan, because everything in Goloka Vrindavan is uttam. There's kanishtha madhyam uttam. There's no madhyam, there's no middle class people. There's no middle class in Brajmala. Everyone's super rich. Super rich in Prem. Also rich too. I mean, the gopis, when they go, when every gopi down the road from Gokul, they aren't kings or queens or provinces or territories. They're just neighbors of Nandababa. They came to worship Krishna on his birth ceremony. They came with golden talis. They came with golden talis and golden cups with kumkum and rice and turmeric and all kinds of stuff for puja, a newborn baby. So they're not eating on clay plates or cardboard plates or leaf plates. That's for Bengalis. Vishwasi even a civil cow, not a Kshatriya, not a Brahmin. Brahmins get all kinds of gold and donations, they make a lot of plates and stuff. But you know, Brahmins are richer than the Kshatriyas actually. Look at Vrindavan, who's got all the money down there. All the Bhagavad Pacharics, they're billionaires. All the land, they own all the land they're in. So Raja is used. Raja, R-A-J-A, it usually means Raja Gun. It's not Raj, it's short A, R-A-J-A, short. It means Raja Gun, which means passionate people. There's no passionate people here in Vrindavan. So when do we use the word Raj? Raja Raj. Go Raj. The dust of the feet of the cows is called Go Dooli or Go Raj. So it's like that. So and the word katin means hard. It's not used to describe people. That guy, what katin on me. That guy is, what katin. He's a hard guy. I'm going to meet this guy, try to get an appointment for teaching job at the college. Good luck, he's well katin. You don't have enough bribe to say you get lost. You know. So there's no word like that to describe katin, hard people. It's only used to describe gold and jewels. Jewels are supposed to be hard and gold is hard. Doesn't refer to people because in Vrindavan everyone's very soft and gentle. Anyway, it goes on forever. So many words. I just give you an idea. Like when you describe Radharani as crooked and restless and hard, it's positive, ultra positive. So we're discussing verse 103, Rara Sunidhi, and we're discussing the subject of Sahaja Prem from yesterday. Because the verse says, Sahaja Prem Utsav, the natural loving exchanges of Rohan and Krishna are a grand festival. When they're together exchanging their sambhog vilas, their different pastimes, they're enjoying together, it's 100% pleasurable. It's a festival, Utsav. Like you have this kind of Sunday love feast, so that means Utsav, festival. So we read some definition, Rupa Goswami from Yadagda Madhav. We'll repeat that definition. What is the definition of Sahaja Prem, natural love? When Radharani praises Krishna, he reacts in a neutral way. But inside his heart he feels pain. Because he feels, I don't deserve any praise, I don't like to hear this. I just want to praise my Radharani. So when a lover is blasphemed or criticized or ridiculed, he likes it. He takes it as jokes, makes him very happy. Any supposed faults in the beloved do not diminish or reduce the lover's love for the beloved. And the beloved's qualities, there's two things. You have dosha and gun. Dosha is faults and gun is qualities. So if there's any dosha, the lover overlooks them, doesn't care, doesn't see them. And if there's any good qualities, that doesn't increase the love. In other words, the love of Radha Krishna is not based on their money, their beauty, or any qualities. It's just based on love. Their love is created, their love with each other is created by love, maintained by love, and it's expression of love. It doesn't depend on any quality of beauty or kindness or flattery or anything. So then, that's where we finished yesterday. Then we started to describe the difference between material love and spiritual love. So this is a small repeat and some extra points are mentioned here. Radha Madhava's love is natural, has nothing to do with material sentiments that are merely transformations of sensual incitements. That's quite a mouthful there. But in other words, material love on one side, what is material life? Love means sentiments, feelings, but material sentiments, material love, material feelings are merely transformations of sensual incitements. But these pastimes of Radha and Krishna are the love pastimes of Satchidananda, Murtiman, Sri Krishna, and Mahabhava Radharani. In other words, these are sensory words described. The lover is made of unlimited transcendental bliss, eternal transcendental bliss and wisdom. That's on one side. And the beloved is made of absolute surrender, dedication, and loving sentiments on the other side. Selfless, self-forgetful, supreme love personified is Mahabhava Radharani. So to attain Radha and Krishna and to attain a drop of their love is the highest goal of human life. Now in an interesting description, it's verse 103, it says that describing the Sajra Prema, then it describes more about their love. There's no reverence, awe, this kind of distance or formality in this love. The word is maryada. Maryada means no rules and regulations. Like there's a common phrase, in love there's no rules and regulations. So in Radharani's love there's no rules and regulations. Radharani can do anything with Krishna. He can step on his feet, step on his head, put his feet on his chest, or feet on his chest, put her feet on his forehead. Krishna, in fact, takes her feet willfully and happily, honors Radharani's feet. The highest part of a person's body is her head. It's called a shiramani. The mukundamani is a crest jewel on top of her head. That's where a king wears a crown. Doesn't wear a crown on his feet. He doesn't wear 20,000 crore crown diamonds on his feet. He wears it on his head. So the topmost part of Krishna is his head, and he puts the bottom part of Radharani. The bottom part of Radharani is more valuable than a solid diamond crown or any crown. Nothing more valuable can adorn my head, my forehead, than the feet of Radharani. Mama Shirasa Mandanam. Mandanam means decorate my head with your feet. Ornament, decorate, adorn my head, ornament your head, my head with your lotus feet. Well, that means there's no maryada, there's no rules and regulations. So Nandas explains, so there's no breach or any walls, barriers between the love of Radha and Krishna. There's a free flow of giving. They're not calculating, not expecting any take, expecting any return. They're just giving. And giving is such that goes for some distance, giving is like a boomerang. Loving dealings are, in Australia, the Aborigines throw out this piece of wood, they catch a bird, and it goes out, hits a bird, knocks the bird out, comes right back to the guy. He throws out, gets another bird. So you throw love out, love always comes back. So the perfect exemplars of the principle of endless giving without any calculation of return is Radha and Krishna. They never think, I need a return, I need a recognition, I need appreciation, I need gratitude, I need some mahaprasad, I need something. No, you ain't getting nothing. But it's not like that. Krishna gives mahaprasad to Radharani. Radharani gives mahaprasad to Krishna. She chews his betel nut, gives it back to him. Her betel nut she doesn't give to him. She gives it to her mantris. Well, he gives her betel nut, then if he's good, she'll give it some back. He behaves himself. So this is how there's no maryada. Then he describes this, one of the definitions, Sahaja Prem means Akanda Prem. We have Akanda Kirtan, means continuous chanting of Krishna's name without break, 24-hour Akanda Kirtan. So this Akanda Prem is unbroken. Actually, the definition of Prem given usually in the money is Prem, the Prem around Krishna. Even if there's 100,000 reasons to dump your dump your boyfriend or dump your girlfriend, you never dump them. That's pretty extraordinary. So Radharani has 1,001 reasons to never talk to Krishna again, never see him again. But she always forgives him, always embraces him again, accepts him back in her loving embrace. Krishna doesn't have one reason. On one side, Krishna doesn't have one reason to reject Radharani. Not one. On any level of measurement. Nothing. Radharani is nirmal. Nirmal vishuddha prem. But Krishna's prem is so much mal. So much stuff mixed in there. You can't describe Krishna's prem as nirmal vishuddha, although they do, but I wouldn't. That's my subjective view. So he describes what is this unbroken nature, this unbroken love affair, eternal unbroken love affair. It's not like Nitya Romeo Juliet or something, like eternal perfect lovers. There's not a lot of problems there. And this love with Krishna, he creates a lot of anxiety, a lot of problems for Radharani, but she never gives him up. Sometimes I wonder why, but my duty is just do my seva and shut up. I just keep vetting, be quiet. But if I had my say, I said, let's forget this guy. Let's come and walk. Let's go out here and never come back. We'll take care of it, we'll be okay. But that won't work, so I don't even take it. I think it, but I don't speak. You can think anything, but don't speak it. So the Yajna Mahadev chapters, Act 2, verse 59, Rupa Goswami describes how Krishna is afraid of losing Radharani. This is a big part of loving bondage. You're always worried about the safety of your beloved. How much Yashoda worries about Krishna's safety when he goes out in the morning for cow tending. So when Radharani's away from Krishna, she's worried about his safety, he's coming home, is he okay, and this and that. So Krishna, after ignoring Radharani in the beginning of their love, starts lamenting. Krishna says, alas, the seed of Chandramukhi Radharani's love for me may be broken after she hears about my cruelty. What is this cruelty? It's cruelty. Cruelty begins with a C, and in personification, cruelty begins with a C also. Kranjali. C for Kranjali, C for cruelty. So Krishna said, Radharani's love, she may be broken when she hears about my cruelty, means my running with Kranjali. She may give up her love for me. She may find happiness and solace and peace in her heart by rejecting me. Maybe Radharani will even give up her life due to the fear of the terrible twining of Cupid's bow. Oh, what a fool I was to uproot the creeper of her desires. Creeper of Radharani's desires. So Krishna's calling himself a fool, and that's good. We approve of that. As he says, Mugda means fool. Ha Mugda Yati Falani Manarata Lata Ridvi my own Mulita. I was Mugda, I was a fool, I was stupid. But he never learns his lesson, that's the only problem. Krishna's love for Radharani is unbroken. It never ends no matter what. From this verse, Nadas already tells us, from this verse from Vidagdha Madhav by Rupa Goswami, although it depicts that Krishna is externally showing indifference towards Radhika, his love for Radharani remains unbroken. When Radhika hears from her sakis that Krishna rejected her love, Radharani laments as follows. So Radharani is lamenting when Krishna hasn't shown up and it appears that he's rejected her and gone with a cruel Chandravali. So Radharani says to Vishakha, O Sakhi, I desiring Krishna's Sangha, I gave up my shyness in front of my superiors. I gave so much misery to all you Sakhis, my Sakhis, who you are dearer to me than life. I gave up all moral codes that are highly estimated, highly respected, and honored by all chaste women, means Aryapatni. Curses on my patience that I still maintain a sinful life even though Krishna has rejected me. So Radharani is feeling, since Krishna has rejected me, I have nothing to live for because I've already broken all the rules of morality, all the rules of Manasamhita, every Samhita. I'm breaking all Varna, so what's the point? If I don't have Krishna, there's no purpose of living, no point in living, so better I just commit suicide. So that shows to what extent Radharani's love is a Kanda Prem. This is what Sajya means. Sajya means natural. This means a Sajya Prem, natural love. You'll commit suicide before you leave your lover. That also happens. Sometimes people do that. And love. And a lot of different kinds of murders happen. You murder the boyfriend or your girlfriend, or you murder yourself, or, you know, suicide or homicide or some kind of side. Take cyanide. Then so, this example shows how Radhika's love cannot be broken, even if she's rejected by Krishna. And Shripad says, Yachana Nuti. Nuti, as I explained yesterday, means Nati. Nati means obeisance. In this love, there are no respectful obeisances or prayers offered. Like when Vasudeva and Devaki met Krishna, the Kurukshetra and other places, they would offer obeisances to him because they understood he's Bhagavan, he's Narayan. He's Narayan Sama, he's Sakshat Narayan. So he became very much respectful. Like Arjuna when he saw Viratarupa, because they realized he's not really our son, he's Bhagavan. But no such thing ever happened with Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. What is he, Radharani? There's no formality. What do they say in Chaitanya Charitamrita? What is the Brijvasis about? Mora Putra, Mora Sakha, Mora Pranapati. The Bhava of the Brijvasis is, you're my son, you're my friend, you're my lover. They don't say you're my Bhagavan, you're my Ishtadevata. You're my buddy, you're my bandhu, you're my friend. My Pranapati, you're the master of my life force. Pranapati Bhagavan, Pranapati Sham. So in this law there's no respect, no maryada. The word in Sanskrit is maryada, which means reverence, respect, and sambrahma. Sambrahma means the same thing. Now there's more on the next page. It's quite a long commentary in this verse. Because we have to understand as much as possible from different ways of defining what is the love in Radha. This is very mysterious and imperceptible state of love that Radha and Krishna share. So understand all the different fine points of their feelings and sentiments towards each other are very necessary to cultivate our Gopi Bhav. It's not just Gopi Bhav, it's just snap your finger at Gopi Bhav. Every day we study what is the heart of a Gopi. And the Supreme Gopi is Radharani. So her heart is best displayed when she's with her Prananath. Her Prananath is the Lord of her heart, Krishna. How does Radharani think? How does she feel towards Krishna? Manjaris have to think like Radharani and feel like Radharani feels towards Krishna. So it's absolutely essential to understand all about love. So when you see books or commentaries that talk about Radharani's love and Krishna's love, they're very important. Like Vishnu Chakravarti's Praying Sambhut and Brahma Gita and all these kind of intimate revelations of Radharani, especially Brahma Gita is chock full of the intensity of Radharani's love. So many commentaries on Brahma Gita, unlimited commentaries. Brahma Gita, 10th canto, chapter 47. Radharani speaking to the bumblebee known as Madhusudan Krishna. So all kinds of reverential praises and formality are absent in Sahaja Prem. Paramahansa Devi tells Nandi Mukhi and Uddhava Nilamani. Paramahansa gives a description of Sahaja Prem. She says, the natural love of Radha Madhava is free from all personal motivations. It is not instigated, it is not driven or created or impelled or excited or instigated by any principles of duty. It is not love of duty. Radharani serves Krishna because of love. Although they may be afraid of their superiors and they may face different problems, this does not increase their disturbance. In other words, Radha and Krishna don't become disturbed by obstacles to their seva. What is Radharani's seva? Radharani's seva to Krishna is offering her body for his intimate pleasure and satisfaction. What is Krishna's seva to Radharani? The same in return. So in order for their bodies to come together, for a transcendental bodies to have some bhog vilas, Rati Kali, Kunja Lila, a union together in divine love, there's so many obstacles and impediments which come up. Superiors, rivals, weather, so many adhyabhik klesh, adhidaivik klesh. Let's see, adhidaivik klesh, adhibhotik klesh. No adhyabhik klesh. They're having problems with themselves. So these disturbances to their service don't diminish their service at all. This is what Purnamasi, the guru of love in Vrindavan, is teaching you. When these disturbances come, it rather increases the taste and the enjoyment of the transcendental ras and ecstasy of their astonishing festival of love when they finally meet. Like a lot of obstacles, you get to meet Radharani, for Krishna meet Radharani, or Radharani to meet Krishna. When they finally meet, it's like bliss, absolute bliss. Now, I can't even describe what it's like. And there's more description of Sahaja Prem. We know that this festival of now that we know what this festival of natural love is not, then can you explain what it is? He said, Salavanya Chamakritir Navavaya Rupam Tanno Mohanam. That's a line from the Sloka 103. In this festival, Radha Madhava enchant each other with their natural beauty and their astonishing forms in youthful age. Navavayas Mahohana Rupam. Rupam Mahohanam. There's an example to show the extent of Radharani's natural love, which we'll describe tomorrow. It's a long verse. Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam. Jai Shri Radhe. Jai.